Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
The Bert Show.
How's everybody doing today? How you doing, Abby?
Good. You know, good. Yeah. It's Tuesday.
Yep.
That's what it is.
Yep. Monday's just kind of the day where, all right, we're just recovering from the weekend. We're just trying to get by.
Mm-hmm.
Just advance.
That's exactly how it is. Survive in advance.
How about you, Mo?
I'm good. I'm good. It's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Abby said hanging in there. I'm trying to figure out why I'm always so much more tired on Tuesday than Monday. I don't get it. Doesn't make sense to me, but Tuesday's always rough.
Yeah, I don't know why that is either.
It's a weird thing.
And that's been consistent in my career.
Mm-hmm.
Kristen's back.
I am back. And thankfully, I don't have a migraine this morning. I don't know. The last two nights, last night was another bad night of sleep. Can't fall asleep, tossing and turning. The night before that, I got like zero sleep. And then by like around 4:30, 5 o'clock, this nasty migraine, ocular headache, or whatever you want to call it, and I couldn't open my left eye.
Ew.
Ooh, jeez.
Yeah, so I was just like, you know what? Let's try to get some sleep and figure this out. So I got, obviously, after some sleep, got much better. But yeah, last night, I was still trying to like figure out why I couldn't go to sleep, and I have no idea, because normally, knock on wood, I sleep pretty good.
It's frustrating. It's really, really frustrating, especially when you can't attribute it to anything.
Yeah.
So frustrating.
Nothing to attribute it to.
All right, Cassie, so we're starting today off with a question. How do you know if someone's trying to case your place?
Okay, so my friend is house sitting, and God bless her. My friend is like, she's my friend, but she's one of my sister's friends, but young. She's 25 is what I'm trying to say, all right? So we're not talking about like a 40-year-old adult woman. And I'm chatting with her, and she's staying at someone's house, and she's like, oh, yeah, it's so weird when people come by the house and it's not your house. And I'm like, what do you mean? You answered a doorbell? As a millennial, I cannot relate, because a doorbell rings, I hit the floor and pretend no one's home. Never. She's like, yeah, I opened it with some pest control guy. And I was like, okay. And she's like, he asked me the weirdest question. He goes, is the next-door neighbor blind? And immediately,
what?
Like immediately, my radar starts pinging. And I'm like, well, is he? She's like, I don't know. And she's like, so I told him, I don't know. It's my friend's house. And I was like, oh, God. And then he goes, oh, are they out of town? And she's like, yeah, but I'm here. And I was like, all right, that's dumb, single white female. Why would you tell them that you're home alone? Yeah. But okay. And then he's like, when will they be back? And she's like, well, next week. And he's like, where'd they go? And she's like, he just seemed like he was making conversation. And then she like, then her spidey senses started tingling. And she's like, oh, well, they're just down the street at their grandma's house. I'm just taking care of their cats while they're down there. Like to kind of be like, the house is occupied. There are going to be people here. And he's like, okay, well, I've been helping people with their like roaches and spiders in the neighborhood. I just wanted to come by. I can come back with a business card. Another red flag. Mm-hmm. If you are door-to-door soliciting, why don't you already have your business card handy?
Yeah, for sure.
So she's telling me this, and I'm like, they're so smart, because what threw her was, is the next-door neighbor blind, which is the easiest way to like see if somebody belongs there or not, because you should know whether or not your neighbor is blind. And also it takes you off guard, right? It's like, oh, weird question. You must have just been over there. I don't know. I'm now assuming that you were over there talking to them. And this is what she's telling me. And we're talking it through. And she's like, well, he did, though, have a full like khaki workman jumpsuit on with a patch that had a company logo on it. And I'm like, well, was it one of the major companies? She's like, no, and I can't remember. She's like, I just remember seeing there was like an embroidered patch. And I was like, okay, that sounds a little less sus because those are far lengths to go to get an embroidered patch stuck on like a uniform.
Well, if you're doing the math on it though, I mean, paying for that outfit / costume compared to getting into somebody's house and getting all their jewelry and electronics, that's a small price to pay for business.
Right. So now she's paranoid and the lights are on all night, she tells me. Yeah. But at the same time, I'm like, maybe I'm overreacting and maybe it really just was a door-to-door solicitation because we know I tend to, you know, take the the world's burning side of things.
Even that to me should be out. It feels so outdated to me when somebody knocks on my door and they're soliciting in person at my house. It feels so outdated.
It feels like an intrusion. Like it immediately makes me not want to use the service, and it feels like you intruded on my privacy, even though you didn't. All you did was ring a doorbell or knock, and I chose to answer. But it's like a text message that you can't ignore.
Yeah.
So whenever we get solicitors or anybody in the neighborhood, man, whenever they come to our house and Bart answers the door, I say a silent prayer for them. And I'm just like, man, you are barking up the wrong tree. Yeah. And I actually have gotten on Bart because he is so rude and like just...
Oh. It's so intrusive.
I know it's intrusive, and I try I try to be like as understanding as possible. But my husband, and I'm like, you don't. These are other human beings, you know. Maybe they're casing a joint. Maybe they're just trying to make a buck. I don't know. But he is so rude. And it's so uncomfortable.
I'm all for Bart in this case.
Really?
I'm with Bart too.
Yeah. Really?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. 100%.
Yeah. Can he film a 101 series for everybody else who doesn't know how to do it?
There was a guy talking at the door just the other day, and Bart just straight up looks at him and just shuts the door right in his face.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's Entertainment Buzz.
I want to give a content warning for somebody passing away in a pretty traumatic way because I think everyone was really shocked when this headline came out that the Cosby Show star Malcolm Jamal Warner died in an accidental drowning while on vacation in Costa Rica. This is so, so tragic. He was only 54 years old, such a beloved part of the show. He played Theo Huxtable, and reports are coming out that he drowned after getting caught in a strong rip current.
Oh, man.
It's absolutely awful. And apparently when Bill Cosby got the news, it felt to him, and this is just what sources are saying, like when he got the news that his son had been murdered back in the 90s, because I guess those two used to be a similar age, used to play together. And sources are coming out and saying that Bill had been on the phone with Felicia Rashad and reminiscing about Malcolm. And you just got to think, like, yes, you're a family on screen, but when you work together so closely and you're already playing a family, like that bond, I don't think just goes away. Mm-hmm. So when you find that out, it probably feels like somebody that you are related to has passed. Malcolm Jamal Warner talked about the impact of the Cosby Show and what it meant for him to work on it. And I think it really speaks to everyone else's experiences of not just seeing them work on it, but also watch it and how that impacted everyone who's seen it.
You know what? My experience, coming out the box on that show.
Yeah.
That had such, like, it wasn't just like the number one show in the world. It was a show that had such an impact on the world.
Absolutely.
On white America, on black America. And that's something that I will always be proud of being associated with.
Yeah.
I'm so glad it came out at the time that it did also, because A, nobody watches broadcast TV anymore, but also there wasn't Facebook and there weren't places for people to have opinions on that show. And it was just like the perfect storm, and it was must-see TV, and it was great every week.
It had such a cultural impact on a lot of people and certainly on my childhood. And I mean, his character, Theo, really redefined what a young black man in America was at the time. And it broke stereotypes of what people believed black families to be and what young black men look like. And I mean, he'll just always be a legend for that. And I gasped seeing the news. I couldn't believe it, especially the way it happened with him being with his family and everything. It was rough, but he was a poet. He was an actor. He was a musician. He was a truth teller. He'd he left quite the legacy and lived a well-served life.
Yeah, for Gen X, like, we lost a piece of our childhood.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
I mean, watching the Cosby Show growing up and feeling, you know, attached to that family, and then seeing that news, I literally gasped. I'm like, what? And then you look and you see, like, just the heartbreaking, tragic way it happened. And, like, you immediately go back to that age when you were watching The Cosby Show and some of your, like, favorite episodes. And I asked some people on Instagram, I'm like, what were some of your favorite episodes that were, like, focused around Theo? And there was a common theme. Mine was the one where Denise made him that shirt.
Oh, the Golden Gartrell.
Oh, man. That was one of my
classic.
Another classic was when he got his ear pierced.
Yeah.
Cliff Huxtable is trying to catch him with that. And then the other one was when the family was with the Monopoly money.
That was my favorite.
And trying to teach him what life was going to be like. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, man. There was just so many, like, beautiful episodes, and also, like, the laughter. And yeah, it feels like a little piece of our childhood is gone.
So we actually have the clip from the shirt where his sister makes him the Gordon Gartrell shirt because he's trying to impress this girl. And of course, it's a very expensive shirt. I think it was like $95 back in the day, which is a significant amount of money. So Denise ends up making him this knockoff version. And this is the clip of him trying it on.
Denise!
It's over, isn't it?
It's better than I could do.
Look at these sleeves. My arm is the same length, worn out my sleeve. This collar's all crazy and its inside is too big.
Well, maybe you tucked it in a little more.
It's tucked into my socks.
I know a lot of people are going to be hurting today, so just take it easy if you can.
The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story.
If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help.
It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
I did not know this about the TV show The Office, which I consider one of the funniest show in TV history. Do you guys watch?
Oh, God, yes. I've watched that. I've probably watched it 5 or 6 times.
The whole thing?
Yeah, like all the way through.
Wow.
You know what's so funny? I've never seen a full episode of The Office.
You would love it.
I definitely have seen clips of it. Like, there are certain episodes, and if you ask me about, I could talk to you about it like I've seen it, but I've never sat down and gone full stop, start to finish, all 22 minutes of The Office.
You ever seen it?
Nope. I've seen clips like Abby. I've never seen a full episode. Everything I know about The Office, I know from being on this show.
Identity theft is not a joke, Jim.
Yeah.
Millions of families suffer every day.
Oh, it's so quotable. Do you like Uncomfortable? Like when you're watching a show and a show makes you uncomfortable.
Not yes. particularly.
I don't mind it.
This show makes you very
yes.
uncomfortable.
Okay. Yes.
Because the boss, Michael, the boss, is just so cringe. There's so many. And even though it wasn't that long ago, it was so long ago. There's a couple of episodes that even Steve Carell's like would not get made
no,
today.
No, the HR one
no.
specifically that comes to mind.
No.
But it is one of the greatest shows. And if you're really into it, you may not know this about it. And I know this sounds random and maybe I'm attaching to it because I just love the show so much. But you know the opening credits on The Office? Do you mm-hmm. know the story behind those?
I don't know the story behind it because, I mean, I know we have the American version because it originated in the UK uh-huh. with Ricky Gervais.
This is the American version.
Didn't John Krasinski have to go up to Scranton for, like, research or something and he just, like, took videos on his phone?
He didn't have to. He did it to try to get the part. And the money that he lost on this deal and those credits is regrettable for an entire life.
Did you know that John Krasinski made what might be the worst business decision in TV history, and we get to see it every single episode? After landing the role of Jim, Krasinski was so excited that he took a road trip to Scranton with his friends for research. While driving around, he stuck his camera through the Jeep's sunroof and filmed random shots of the city. The welcome sign, some buildings, a stoplight. It was just amateur footage from the 23-year-old kid having fun with his friends. Then, Greg Daniel saw the footage and asked if he could use it for the show's opening credits. He offered Krasinski $1,000 for the rights, and Krasinski immediately said yes, instead of asking for royalties. Those shaky amateur clips, they played before every single episode across 9 seasons and countless reruns on streaming platforms worldwide. If he had gotten royalty rights, Krasinski could have been getting paid every single time someone hits play on The Office and saw the intro. That is millions in royalties. Instead, he got a one-time $1,000 payment. Krasinski now calls it the dumbest decision of his career and jokes it could have been the greatest investment of his entire life.
Millions oh. of dollars.
Oof. Oh my
Millions.
God.
But when you're that young and you get your first break mm-hmm. and they offer you $1,000, especially at that point, $1,000 is a lot of money. So you are taking it. You're never even thinking about royalties. Millions of dollars.
I want to feel bad for him, but they're both rich and hot. Him and Emily Blunt. They're
yeah.
just
yeah,
fine.
They did okay.
Yeah, he's doing good. Yeah.
They did. All right, Kristen, it's time to get stupid with you.
Yeah, we're going to keep with the Office theme that we got going on here. And I have some more Office nicknames for you to guess what they are.
Sometimes it's fun to be stupid. Everybody gets stupid, stupid.
Everybody gets stupid, stupid. Yo, you don't even know what stupid is. It's about to get all stupid up in here.
So at Corporate Kitty Cat has come out with round 2 of Office nicknames. I'm going to give you the Office nickname and you have to guess what it means.
Okay.
All right. So here we go for round 2. They call her Bloody Mary.
Oh, Bloody Mary.
They call her Bloody Mary. Why do they call her Bloody Mary?
Because she kills something. Every good idea?
Absolutely not.
Does this have to do with bodily functions?
It does not.
You don't want to see her 3 times.
You're getting closer.
You always see her in the bathroom mirror?
Well, you're kind of getting closer. She pops up anytime you say her name. Because you know when we say Bloody Mary 3 uh-huh. times in the mirror, mm-hmm. she pops up. All right, next. Birthday cake. If you call your office coworker birthday cake, what does that mean?
Birthday cake.
She caked up. What?
Oh, no. I like it, but that's not it.
Too sweet?
Mm-mm.
She's only nice once a year?
Mm-mm. I like it, though.
That's good. She only shows up on a birthday?
I applaud all of your efforts. No, everybody's had a piece.
Oh.
Oh, that's damn. Good.
Damn. Hey. Yeah,
all right,
good.
Next, we got Seagull. Bert, if somebody's calling you Seagull, what are you? What are you doing around the office?
What a Seagull. You're flying high and you're looking over everybody's work?
Okay, you're being too literal.
You're always eating everybody's leftovers?
Yes, that's part of it.
Oh.
Yep. Okay. You're stealing food. You're stealing
nibbling.
Food. Makes a lot of noise and steals your food.
Okay. Yeah.
That's yep. the Seagull uh-huh. in the office. All right, next, I think this one is so easy. Y'all should get this. Chai.
Chai?
Mm-hmm. Chai.
Like the tea?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the person that's always gossiping.
Yep, knows all the office
knows
tea.
Knows all the office tea.
Yeah. Knows all the office tea. And then the last one for you, if we're going to call Tommy Tesla, what does that mean?
Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find a comparison. Tesla.
This, by the way, does not apply to Tommy at all. It could not be more polar opposite of Tommy.
I saw Mo turn around and look at Tommy like trying to get a hint from him.
No. You're not going to get a hint from Tommy. Just like I called Bert Siegel. He doesn't go around stealing people's food.
Okay.
Tesla.
Tesla
needs to recharge after only 3 hours of work. 3 hours is a long time.
I don't know. That is kind of true, Chris.
You got to go get your. But instead of EV power, it's Mountain Dew.
Yep.
The Bert Show.
I can hear my dad in my head right now. Be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. And I almost want to say that to Abby here about reality TV shows, fan, because it seems miserable to me. And you keep applying and keep applying.
I keep applying because they don't want me. And I feel like it's like that ex-boyfriend that you just want their approval so bad. Like you want some random casting director from LA to look at you and be like, yes, you on TV now.
You've got such a great opportunity right this second to enjoy the win. The Jezebel cover. You look fantastic. Most eligible in Atlanta. Touché. It's a win. It's a real win. So why even mess with it right
now? I'm like Tom Brady of dating. Like, you think I'm going to be happy with just one ring? Let me catch them all. I want full 10 fingers full of diamonds.
No time to rest.
All right. You're going to be the GOAT.
I'm going to be the GOAT of attempting to get on reality TV. And so if you've been listening, I've already applied for one show, and it's Farmer Wants a Wife. But Farmer doesn't want Abby because I haven't heard from them. And I was kind of surprised. I was like, you know what? I feel like I could be a good fit for this show. They only film for a month. They just pick random girls from small towns in America. And I'm like, this is me. I fit the ideal.
Dude, you read your application online. It was like on point.
You got to know this, that the little experience I have with TV and production, they take forever to do anything. It's like, hey, get your application and get your application and get your application as fast as you can. And then they just hold on to it. If you're on the set, Mo knows this, right? It just takes forever to get anything done.
Yeah, when I did Blind Date, it was literally like 12 hours of shooting for every probably 5 minutes that you would see on TV. Like you just on the set the entire day, hot, hungry. It was not a good experience.
Hollywood does have this like sense of entitlement. Like they know so many people want to be part of the process that they pressure you to get in on it, and then they just make you wait. So I wouldn't worry about that one.
Okay, well, we'll see if Farmer wants an Abby, because I'm just waiting for that. So in the meantime, I'm like, you know what? I'm feeling a little hot right now. I just got the cover of Jezebel magazine. You know, career's going well. Everything in life is, you know, pretty smooth sailing right now. I was like, so let me shake things up a little bit. How else can I add some more chaos into my life? And then I was scrolling on the Instagram and I saw that there was a casting call for another reality TV show that I think I have no chance of getting on, but I'm going to try and get on anyway. And that is, of course, the one, the only, The Bachelor.
The Bachelor.
The Bachelor is currently casting right now. Have I submitted an application before? Yes.
I think every woman has at some point.
Have I ever gotten casted even remotely? Have I ever gotten an email or call? No. But here's the thing. My brother a couple of years ago was one of the top 100 people to get cast for The Bachelorette, and I'm determined to beat him out.
Really?
Here's why I think that you fit really well into a show like this, okay?
I'm single.
Well,
desperate.
Okay. Get closer. Yeah, all right. Those are three. But the other one is that if you're really going on this show to meet somebody of quality, right? To really date and really get married, not just to go on and enhance your brand, or you're a bombshell, right? And you're really just doing this so you can get more followers and more money. I think that you would be a very good pick on these shows.
Well, it's always interesting to watch people be vulnerable and see them open up and actually fall in love. Like, genuinely, I used to love The Bachelor because I believed like that was the highest way you could fall in love. Like when I saw Ben Higgins and Lauren fall in love and then eventually break up 6 months later, like it was a magical experience. So I'm going to try and be a part of it. So I opened up the application over the weekend. I started filling out my forms. I started answering a little questions, thinking insightfully, trying to figure out how I can paint a picture of who Abby is so they know what they're getting into should they choose to try and cast me. But there is one question that I feel like I am not equipped to answer, and I feel like I need my fellow creatives to come in and help me answer this final question. And it has everything to do with The Bachelor limo entrances. Now, if you have ever seen The Bachelor, they always do these weird, quirky limo entrances that are sometimes very charming, very cute. It's a very sweet way to first meet this guy that you're going to be dating for the next 6 to 12 weeks. But sometimes they embarrass themselves wholeheartedly. Like for example, on Chris Soule's season, one of the girls that actually became a pretty big quote unquote star off that show, her name is Carly, and she opened up her meet cute with a little karaoke.
My name is Carly. Nice to meet you. And in a few weeks, I hope to teach you. You learn a little about me, I'll learn a little about you. Then maybe one day, yeah, one and one can make two. Until then, let's enjoy the ride. And I'll see you inside.
That's embarrassing.
That was her first impression, huh?
She doesn't have a bad voice.
No, but
really?
You know,
which I heard.
Yeah, right? You listen to a different channel?
Yeah,
she has there's some tone to her voice. She's nervous. She was like, see you inside.
And she's got her little pink karaoke machine. So the question I haven't been able to answer off of this application is, do you have any special talents? Do you have any character defining fun facts?
This application hasn't changed in 20 years.
Wait, did you have to fill this out too?
Yes.
What was your answer?
I knew. Oh, it was splitting my pants. So yes,
your special talent was ripping your jeans.
Yes, because my butt was so big. So I had four pairs of pants that I had split, and just at like various times. One when I was in high school and I jumped over a desk, split. Another when I was trying to drop it low, split. So I had four pairs of pants with massive rips in them, and I had kept all of them. So that's what I put in my video or whatever and told them in the application. Because this is, for a woman in her 20s, this is a rite of passage, filling out the Bachelor application. And I'm very excited. This moment is here for you. It's a canon event.
This is not necessarily one you could use coming out of the limo, though, where you're just come out of the limo and you try to split your pants.
Well, no, but they're not asking you. They're not asking you what you want to do when you're coming out the limo.
No, that's what they're asking. The question says, do you have any special skills, talents, or fun facts that help define who you are? If you've seen the show, how might you incorporate those, whether it's a talent or something from your hometown or a personal trademark, into your limo entrance?
I can see you just coming out of that limo and squatting down. Trying to rip your pants.
I'm a bachelor. It might work.
She's kicked up. So if you've seen the show before, yep. The Bachelor entrances, what are some special skills and talents I can portray to this man and make a good first impression on him?
All right, let's talk about this first, this strategy, okay?
Okay.
So I think producers love this. Absolutely love it because it makes great TV if a woman comes on and the first thing she does is make a fool out of herself.
For sure.
Personally, I think it's gimmicky. Like, I think if you have a lot to offer, you don't need all that, right? But it's not going to set you apart either.
I totally agree. And also, if they're reading your application and they're like, well, I'm just going to, you know, clink a champagne glot. They're not casting that girl.
Right.
I came to win. I came to play.
Have they ever used a puppy?
Oh,
that's a cheat code.
Yeah.
A puppy with a little note around its neck. And like you
bow
just,
tie.
And you just like open the door and you set the puppy down and then you close the door and let him go to the puppy and then you come out.
And then you say, I got this for you. It's actually yours now.
No. No. What you do, then you'd be like, so this puppy is from the Atlanta Humane Society and needs a good home. And now you're using your platform to meet him and also doing some good for him. Like
that's
a
not bad.
Kristen. Philanthropy. I was going to get the word out eventually.
For a first idea, that's great. And you can do the same thing. You can bring a baby out there.
Just like a basket and just set it out.
Okay, I like that because then I can walk around with a puppy all night and it'll help me make friends with the other girls, so they let their guards down and they trust me so I can sabotage them later.
Has nobody ever done like the puppy trick on The Bachelor?
I feel like maybe, but it was probably some girl that was irrelevant or like we don't remember because she did it and then she got kicked off 2 or 3 weeks later.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, there you have it.
I'll start thinking on it, but you know, when you see me on your television screens in 7 months with a puppy, don't be surprised. All
right. The Burt Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why weight loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
All right, Katie, you need to put a stop to this drunken shenanigans, especially when it comes to wine.
Yeah, I witnessed some crazy things going to a winery. And let me tell you something. Being a sober person at a winery is not fun. It's not as fun as you would think. So a group of my friends, it was about six of us. We went to this winery, and this winery is like 2 hours away from where we live. And for some reason, I volunteered to be the DD. I think it was because the night before I had a wild time, and I was like, I can't do back-to-back nights. But this is something we already had on the books. So I was like, gotta see it through.
You get so many realizations when you finally become the only sober one around a whole bunch of other drunk people. It's not nearly as fun unless you're drunk.
Exactly.
You don't realize how obnoxious you are as a group until you're the sober one.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
And typically when I'm the drunk one, I'm the one that they're trying to stop. Like, Katie, get back here. I just be wild. But for the roles to be reversed was definitely interesting. But I wasn't alone, though.
I think I might have tried this sober thing like for 3 weeks and went out with my friends a couple of different times as the sober one. I think I was home by 9:30. This is terrible.
I never want to be around my drunk friends sober. No, that is a horrible experience.
And this one, I couldn't escape it. But I wasn't alone because there was a pregnant woman in the group. So she was sober too. So I was like, okay, I got two sober buddies. But that basically sparked us people watching when we get to this like winery. Mm. So it's supposed to be, we get there and there's nice views and stuff, but after like the first two glasses that our friends have, we realize they're doing their own thing.
Okay.
So they went
for a full glass already, not just a little sample?
No, they started off with the four samples.
Okay.
And then based off of the samples, they're like, oh, we're going back for glasses. And I was like, y'all have a time.
Yeah, if you've never done this wine tasting thing here, it's a trap, man. As soon as you walk in there for the very first time and you see those little itty bitty samples, right? You're like, that's it? That's it. But when you're on the third winery and they've given you five different samples each time, you're hammered already.
Oh, absolutely. And one of my friends, she doesn't like to eat. When she gets lit, she's like, just give me a bag of chips. And I'm like, that's a recipe for disaster.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm.
Yep. I learned that the hard way.
We need a base.
Yeah, Rookie. You definitely need a base. Oh. So the drunk friends go off and they're doing their own thing. So it's me and the pregnant woman. And as we're sitting by, we're watching and she's like, I have to go to the restroom. And women, we go to restrooms in packs. So I'm like, okay, I'll go in there with you. And
so women do that when they're only with women also?
What do you mean?
You go in the pack, you go like when you break off from a group of women, you will go to the bathroom like in a group. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was like when you're around a whole bunch of guys is when you did that.
Oh, no.
No.
Okay. I thought when you were out on dates or something like that, or a double date or something.
Yeah, you do it then, but you also do it like when you're out with a group of girls, because inevitably there's going to be somebody that's on like the same
schedule.
Yes. And so when you got to go, somebody will go with you.
Oh, so when y'all do that, every woman has to go to the bathroom?
No, not every. Mm-mm.
Sometimes you just stand in there and just wait, just hold it down.
Or be in the mirror taking selfies.
Yeah. Okay. You don't want to leave the group. So when someone's like, I'll go, then it's like, okay, I'm not the only one missing out. So I'll go with you.
Gotcha.
I'll use this as my pee time.
Yeah, because you just never know what may happen.
True.
You know, majority of the time it's like, can you pass me tissue from the other stall? And I'm like, okay, girl, I got you. Okay. So when we go into this restroom, like we open the door and there's a guy in there and it's his lady. And they are wasted. I'm talking about, oh my gosh, I got you. And I'm like, well, okay, this is just weird. So we're like, okay, whatever. Just write that one off. So I'm like, girl, we need to hurry up and get out of here. People are getting a little too lit. Then we come out and there's live music. So there's this saxophone player. And he was killing it. He was putting on all the hottest jams. And I'm like, you know what? Let's go outside, chill. There's a nice breeze and just sit and watch the live music, right?
It's not often you hear somebody be like, yeah, the saxophone player, he was killing it.
He was on fire. Yeah. He was lit. Saxon.
It better be Kenny G because there is no second.
Close to it, though. But I like jazz music and stuff like that. So when I saw this, I got excited because I didn't know that I was in for a treat that day. And so as we're sitting and watching this guy, he's like in his 40s, you can tell he's married, and he looks like Josh whatever, Fergie's ex-husband. Y'all know who I'm talking about?
Josh Duhamel?
There we go. Didn't know how to pronounce his last name. Yes. So this man looks like Josh Duhamel. And so I'm like, oh, this is a young, fine saxophone player right here. And then he has a table of women going, woo, just cheering him on. I'm like, okay, those are his groupies. Cool. They're younger women.
Oh, that's why he was saxing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. This actually angers me. If you're that good looking and that tall, you don't need a gimmick.
So after he finishes one of his songs, there's this older woman, like she's pushing Walker age, right? And she just goes up on stage, and you can tell she's hammered, and she just grabs him by his neck and tries to like kiss him. and she's just like, oh, you were so good. And he's like, it's weird because he's not trying to be like, get off of me, woman. But at the same time, it's like awkward because he's trying to push her off and be polite. And I'm like, what do you do in that situation where you just have a drunk fan coming and trying to kiss you and grab you by your neck? And it's very aggressive. And you can tell she's an older woman. Uh-huh. It's not like this young 20-year-old woman. It's an elderly woman trying to take his draws.
Well, I mean, it's still assault. Regardless of age.
Yeah, that is quite enough.
Did anybody come to his defense? Did anybody try to help the poor guy out?
I'll defend his honor.
I didn't know saxophone players had it so hard out here.
Really?
The Burt Show.